Welcome, everyone, to this fifth class in our Morning Star Libra Meta Goddess Venus journey that we are now featuring the solar plexus, the third chakra, and the mysteries of personal power, one of my favorites, and I know one of Tammy's favorites as well. Also, just this reminder that, you know, we still have a couple more days left where we have this opportunity to keep clearing blocks and distortions from our heart chakras. But in this class, we're going to begin shifting the attention to clearing the blocks and distortions around expressing our, you know, healthy versions of personal power. Ideally, for me, and I'm guessing for pretty much everybody here, that personal power is anchored in the power of love rather than the love of power. Because we can see what the love of power has done to our world. So these two chakras can really work together in an amazing way, and that's pretty cool. So anyway, something I learned today was that in the ancient Vedic texts, and this was specifically referenced with the Mahabharata, as working with the chakras, clearing and activating them, being essential at the end of Kali Yuga, and supposedly, according to some researchers and articles I've read, we are at the end of the Kali Yuga, supposed to end in 2024. You know, different people have different dates, but we're close. And that it supports the shift to a new way of being when we're working with the chakras. And the reference is translated as the seven suns or seven wheels of light within the body. So I got really excited when I heard that because I'm like, oh, yes, that's exactly what we're doing with this Venus alchemy work. Woohoo! So it just feels like a confirmation that what we're doing in the clearing and activating of our chakras via the Venus cycle is perfectly timed at this end as we are, you know, going towards the end of this great age of Kali Yuga and the past 26,000-year cycle, moving into a new 26,000-year cycle, all kinds of cool stuff. So awesome. Anyway, so we're really thrilled to be with you as we all descend to the lower chakras now. And remembering that the Libra Meta Goddess knows that we can accomplish far more together than we could accomplish on our own. So thank you all for showing up and for being the change together that is transforming our lives both personally and collectively. We're going to do a couple quick of usual reminders before we create safe grid space, including if you can't be on a live call, you have questions or something to share, you need to send that to us before the call. And whatever your questions, whatever your insights are sharing, we would be happy to share that if you can't be live with us. So just that reminder. And then also my favorite reminder, because I need to remind myself of this, especially being in my own Venus return cycle, is that this is a sacred initiatory journey, and we are continuing to drop deeper into the underworld domain, and that can feel challenging at times. Sometimes, you know, it often does feel challenging. So if you're feeling that, just remember to welcome the challenges and opportunities to grow and evolve. And that might not make those challenges easier, but at least for me, I know it gives me a sense of meaning and purpose. Like, this isn't just happening, you know, because I'm being punished by some, you know, divine something or being tested or challenged, but that it's, you know, it's really that process of growing and evolving so that we can clear out whatever's in the way of being more empowered. So we have been creating an intentional field that you can all tune into at any time for support through your intention and attention. If you're on Facebook, you can also reach out there. You can reach out to Tammy and myself. And you can return to the Venus Temple or Sky Temple anytime or the guided meditations anytime if you need extra support. So we're just create sacred space here in a moment. But Tammy, is there anything you want to say before I do that?
Just also not. Again, that as you mentioned, the Facebook group, that it's just continued to be just an incredible space of sharing. And it just also strikes me, you know, Kaylin, I know that Libra is, we're exploring what Libra is, you know, and with every time we go through these different gateways and these different activations that we collectively come into more of an awareness of what Libra is about. But I really think it is interesting that so much has been coming through in artwork and the visual kind of piece of what this journey is about. But just basically, I'm just excited that we get to be able to do this again together and just amazed by all of the energy in the group. So that's it for me.
Awesome. Beautiful. Yes, thank you. So we're going to just call upon the energetic field that we've all been co-creating and bring in our allies and guides and the relational goddesses that we're most resonant with, of course, the circle of grandmothers, along with their wisdom and their support for this journey. So you might just take a moment to close your eyes and allow a slow, deep cleansing breath, breathing deeply into your belly and then letting it go. And you may want to continue breathing in this way with the intent to energize conscious connection with our powerful energetic field and feeling the welcoming presence of our sacred circle and the circle of grandmothers. And as you breathe out, you may want to send this energy into this loving, supportive field, further raising the vibrational energy that we all have access to. And then allow your attention to focus on your solar plexus. This is your personal power center. And it's just below the heart, around the area of the stomach. And check in and see if you can feel into what the condition of this chakra is at this moment. Maybe it's really bright and vibrant and alive and supporting you, or maybe it's a little bit challenged or constricted. Maybe it needs more attention, or perhaps it's a combination of both of these factors or something else completely. So just tuning into that for a moment, and really, sensing into it, feeling into it. Perhaps you see, maybe you're more visual, so maybe you can see into that, into your third chakra. But no matter what you are sensing or feeling there, with your breath, send loving, radiant, golden light to your solar plexus. And imagine this light is spreading to fill your entire body and then extending beyond you to fill the world that we're in here. And as you feel this warm, golden light filling your body, then just allow yourself to deeply feel how blessed you are right now. And how blessed we are to engage the sacred journey, the sacred space, the sacred ceremonial time together. And how blessed we are to be guided by the ever-loving presence and wisdom of the Circle of Grandmothers and the fierce love and blessings of the relational goddess and goddesses who are rising once again to support each and every one of us at this time. So now we're going to do the relational goddess prayer. And if you want to say it with me behind the microphone, it's completely welcome to do that, because as we voice things, we give it extra power. So here's the prayer. Beloved relational goddess, courageously committed to fostering co-creative, collaborative, cooperative relationships, enthusiastic maintainer of the cosmic balance, helping us to restore relational balance within ourselves, each other, and the earth. Standing in your powerful divine feminine sovereignty, thank you for helping me release all the ways I have been inauthentic and apologetic rather than genuinely and realistically expressing from my true essence and authentic personal power. Help me to release whatever is in the way of me truly trusting myself and clearly knowing I do not need to have power over others, and I do not need to give away my power to have significance, value, and worth in this world. Guide me in taking all the necessary risks designed to help me experience the will to stand in the strength and magnificence of who I am. Oh, mighty wise one, in the sensible use of great and exquisite power, guide me to release all that is unwise or unsupportive from this and all other lifetimes, so that I am living from a place of confidence, courage, and strength, where I am freely sharing my gifts with the world. It is done, it is so, and I give thanks. Blessed be.
Thank you, Kaelin. That feels so anchoring into the moment.
Yay.
Yes. It just so strikes me that this power center is such, I mean, every chakra is so important, but how it is that we hold our power in the context of relationship is such a big one for so many of us. So just as you had been saying, you know, just to really honor the courage that it takes for each one of us in the circle to meet each of these energies and to really drop into what it feels like to open to, you know, what may show up that stands in the way of that, to clear it, and that we're doing it together.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Yeah, so, I really so feel it because it's my personal chakra gate. So it's exciting and big energy.
Tammy, I just want to say really quickly that I left the slide in about Sekhmet is all about power because her name literally is sacred power. And so we're not going to cover that specifically, but it's there. Some of you have seen this slide before. Some of you have not. But it's just something that can really help as we are at the chakra gate. So I just wanted to say that that was why that was there. And then also the second slide, that this little piece comes actually from the Lord of the Rings. And it was rewritten for the feminine. So instead of being, you know, the blade that was broken, it's renewed shall be all that was broken. So it's just kind of a fun, it's fun to chant. So if you feel inspired to do that, it's here for you to do that. And I think it's a great thing to have at this particular chakra gate, awareness of that. So just wanted to say that before we do the overview.
Awesome. Great. And so cool that you did bring in Sekhmet, because we really haven't been focusing as much on her, even though we do see her as a relational goddess. But if there's any point in the journey that she really that we can call on her,
Tammy, I don't know, but I can't hear you now. You just cut out.
Seriously? Mm. Oh, jeez. Okay. Can you hear me at all?
Oh, now you're back. Now, yeah, but you were gone for like 30 seconds. So,
wow.
Whatever you were saying. Here.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm not sure what that is. But you can hear me okay now.
Yep.
Okay, great. All right. So tonight what we are going to be working with is looking at, again, the night sky, and there's a tremendous amount happening in the sky as always. And then looking at the Libra Meta goddess moving through Pisces and Aries at the solar plexus chakra gate. We're going to be talking quite a bit about snake medicine that's really alive over the course of this month, so it's an added dimension. And then really talking about how Libra doing addiction, how that might show up, the violet flame invocation, Libra questions at the solar plexus chakra, and then we'll explore different home play exercises we can do. And then we'll do the Venus and Sky Temple journeys, and then hopefully we'll have some time for Q&A. But we have a lot to cover.
So I don't know why, but you do cut in and out a little bit. I don't know if that's your connection or if you want to try calling back in.
Let me try that. All right.
I'll go ahead and start on the night sky while you're doing that.
Okay, great.
So,
okay, perfect.
Right? Yeah, so on slide number six, we start to see how the moon is getting close to Venus coming down. You know, it's dropping down. It'll be with Venus on the first and second. Actually, the exact Venus conjunction is 11:31 p.m. Pacific time, so that's early in the morning the next day. So it might be that on the second it's closer in some places to see it then. So it'll be interesting to kind of keep an eye on that. But one of the things that I did on this particular slide was I'm showing you the scales, the scorpion, the archer, the goatfish, the water bearer, and the fish. The next piece where Venus and Mercury and the moon are, we're seeing the moon on March 31st in the goatfish, and then Venus is in the water bearer, and Mercury's kind of Mercury and Neptune so close together in the water bearer. And so we've just been kind of watching or tracking as these planets have been going across the sky. So on April 1st, in the morning, early morning sky, it may look like the moon and Venus are pretty close together. So we could hope that we'll have clear skies and be able to see that. And the conjunction is going to take place in Pisces. As if we haven't had enough Pisces, because we have today Mercury and Neptune stationing within a degree of each other, and then by April 1st, they'll still be within, you know, just slightly more than a degree of each other. So they're just kind of, you know, Mercury's kind of paused there in the sky, adding to the Piscean nature of everything that's been going on. So, Tammy, are you back yet? All right. So,
you know what? Can you hear me?
What? Yeah, now I can
hear me. Okay. Well, I'm actually I'm gonna call in using the internet. I do not have any idea why my phone is not working all of a sudden, but I should have a clearer line that way.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I'll just keep going. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so then on April 2nd, in the early morning sky, the moon will be below Venus. So you can see that on slide number 8. And literally in the morning around 6 a.m., the moon is just a couple, like maybe about 3 degrees past Venus. So that should be pretty amazing to see in the sky on that morning if we have clear skies. Fingers crossed, hope that's the case. And then actually you see that on the 2nd, Neptune and Mercury are going to be exactly conjunct at 17 degrees and some minutes of Pisces, probably around 17:12. Earlier that morning they're exact because it's 17:09, and by the 6 a.m. it's 17:12. So anyway, that whole day is going to be very much a Mercury Neptunian day, as if we haven't had enough of that already. It's been really kind of wild and crazy. Some of you may have had this experience too, but everything I've tried to do, I've had to do it twice because things disappear. That, you know, the whatever, it isn't right, or my computer is shut down and things just, it's been crazy. So it'll be good to get out of the that more sort of confusing, foggy energy. Although it's also, Pisces is very good for connecting into the mystical and into the divine, but not when you're trying to do things that require a more left brain focus. So so if you have the opportunity to be in that more meditative space. So, Tammy, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So say something, because you sound a little... how's that? Can you say something?
Yep.
Yeah, so hopefully that has, but it sounds like there's a little background noise going on. Are you talking? Because if you are, you're worse. It's worse in and out than it was. So, it's so fun to do classes with Mercury stationing direct. The technical issues. So, yeah, Tammy, I'll give you a second, but it sounds like you're worse. Okay, I don't know. Anyway, okay, moving on. So there's the Aries new moon on the 15th, the 5th of April at 15 Aries, and you can see where it is in the constellation of the fish. So we won't actually see the new moon, the sun and the moon are together at the exact new moon. But it's just interesting to note that, you know, it'll be a shift, I think, and an infusion of Aries energy that gets things done and moves things forward, that more fiery energy. So that might help some of from this more watery kind of, you know, flow, go with the flow, or not even know what the flow is necessarily, or however that's been showing up for people. And then on April 19, we're going to have the 2nd Libra full moon, because we had one at the equinox. It was at 0 degrees Libra, and the full moons happen every 29 and a half days. So if you have a 0 degree Libra full moon, then you're going to have a 29 degree Libra full moon 29 and a half days later, as is the case. So we have two Libra full moons this year. It's kind of cool. And you can see where the moon is in the Virgin Priestess, not in the scales, also known as Libra, because the signs and constellations aren't the same. But anyway, so this is just showing you an image of the stars that are behind that full moon at that particular time. So it might be something worth tuning into. And what's, I think, stunning about this is to have two Libra full moons, one at the equinox and then one on April 19th, when we've had a Libra meta goddess on the world stage since November 1st of 2018. So it's really magnifying, emphasizing this Libra energy to have these two Libra full moons. And here at the heart chakra gate was the first one, and the second one is happening at the solar plexus gate. So it feels significant, like the moon is helping to assist that full moon, that full light of the moon. And as I was mentioning earlier in the Vedic texts, the full moon was the moon that they felt was the maximum amount of light energy. They called it soma, and it was like a lot of the Vedic texts are centered around this idea of increasing soma, or increasing light, or increasing life. So that we could imagine that it's also increasing the light and life force of the Libra mysteries as the Libra meta goddess is moving through the gates into the underworld. So let's see. Then on slide number 11, we have Venus moving into Aries, and that's happening on April 20th. So that means that Venus is literally at the place where the sun rose on March 20th, a month later, Venus is there at that point and in the morning sky. So you won't see the crossing lines, the line of the celestial equator and the line of the ecliptic where they're crossing and the equinox point happens. But you can see Venus, and if you're up early enough and see the constellation, you see the constellation of the circlet of the fish above Venus at that time. Tammy, are you back?
I'm back. I don't get it. I'm right in the middle of a city and I can't get phone reception. But how do I sound?
You sound good now.
Keep okay, our fingers good. Crossed. All right. Okay. Yes.
So I don't know if you've been hearing anything, things I'm saying, or if you have any comments about anything so far.
You know what? I haven't. I've been trying to get this. So are you through all of the night sky slides?
No, I just have a couple more to go.
Okay. I'll say one thing. I mean, the thing I did hear something about, which has been just extraordinary, is just what we're going through exactly today, which is the Mercury direct station so close to Neptune. And when you were talking about that being a time to really get these good downloads and and really connect into the intuitive and more of the spiritual insights, that's been amazing. And it has been kind of wonky. So that's pretty much all I have to say so far.
Yes. It definitely tests our ability to stay calm, cool, and collected. Right?
Yeah.
When especially when technology goes wonky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been on slide number 11. I'm moving to I don't know why I didn't have this one right after slide number 10, but the chart of the full moon on April 19th, that 29 degree Libra full moon, and you see Venus has moved to 28 Pisces, Mercury is already well into Aries with Chiron. You know, there's some interesting things going on. And the thing that I haven't talked about yet, that we'll talk about in a minute, is that on April 10th, I believe, Jupiter goes retrograde. And that is what is bringing in the big piece around snake medicine. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But on slide number 13, the main events of the month with the moon and Venus, and then, of course, the Jupiter station, which is not on here. How did that? I wonder where it went. It used to be on here. Oh my god. So take my my word for it, on the 10th of April, Jupiter is stationing retrograde, and that is a feature of what we're going to talk about. And then, interestingly, on the 23rd of April, the moon will be with the crown chakra star of Ophiuchus, something we're going to talk a little bit more about, and with Jupiter around that same time. So something to definitely note and tune into. Plus, we have three retrograde stations this month: Jupiter on the 10th, Pluto on the 24th, and Saturn on the 29th. So we'll be ending our all planets today. You know, we're back to all planets moving forward again for until the 10th of April. So yeah. Anyway, so I think now we're ready to look at the Libra meta goddess at the third chakra. Unless there's anything you wanted to say about the sky.
No, not so much. I mean, except to just say that. Well, there's so much that we're going to still talk about in terms of the snake medicine, so I'll wait on that. But I think this whole planets direct thing, in a way, it's felt like this the period where you could almost say it feels like a respite from that, because we've had this Mercury retrograde. In some ways, it's been a respite from just the incredible fast moving energies. But on another level, Kaylin, I mean, like you're saying, you're having to do things twice, so it's not like we kind of get to check out and there's not as much going on, or we're not needing to hold as much. It's that we're somehow needing to learn how to hold it. And I think this is something you model beautifully through your tenacity, somehow model being able to get those insights and kind of really move between the worlds more effectively and keep one foot in both worlds. It just seems like we're being, we're being invited. I mean, not just invited, we're really having to learn to do both. And the word that comes to mind for me, Kaylin, when I think about you and when you say that you've had to do everything twice, and I can relate to that, but it's just, again, this right. word, for whatever reason, it's like at the third chakra, it feels like persistence. You know, how do we maintain a persistence of opening, you know, to higher spiritual guidance and opening to the all of the insight that's flowing through? I mean, if you think about just how much it is we're trying to integrate and navigate right now, and then at the same time to be able to keep doing the work that we are here to do. And in many cases, I would imagine many of you also are having this experience of being asked to step up even more and more and more. So how to do that, and how to also, how to hold your power. But as Kaylin said, from a place of love, I just think that's where the true strength does come from, to keep coming back again and again to that. And again, I just, you know, I want to honor, Kaylin, that you modeled that really beautifully, and that I think you absolutely modeled that in a way that where that infuses the way that you do this work, and that you also, even in the midst of frustration, maintain that love vibration. So, I think that's a beautiful manifestation of moving from the heart chakra and then coming down into the third chakra. That this is a powerful movement that we're doing, and that just to remember that it's not really like, you know, it's like so many other things. Like if you're talking about the Kali Yuga or whatever it is you're talking about, it's not just like we're, you know, one day we're in one place and the next day we're in another place. There's a threshold energy. So right now we're in that threshold energy between the heart chakra gate and the solar plexus. So how is it then that it's like there's a gate opening between our hearts and all the energy that we've been, really magnifying, and all the places we've been dropping into our hearts, that energy then gets to flow down and into the solar plexus gate, and so that it infuses it with that. So I just I just want to speak to that dynamic, and then just say that it is. It also kind of going along with that theme, that for much of this gate, we will be moving, the Libra meta goddess is moving through Pisces at the third chakra. And so from April 2nd until the 21st, the Libra goddess will be in the sign of Pisces. And so again, it's more of this kind of bringing that heart energy down and in. But in this case, it's even like the transpersonal love, that love that is beyond just the personal. So this, you could say, is when the Libra goddess is surrendering all the ways she has abandoned herself to please and serve the needs of others, while negating her personal power and the goddess within. We might feel the grief of our female ancestors for all the times when their compassion, love, and empathy was taken advantage of and perceived as weakness. When we can now release and clear any and all tendencies to invite into our personal field any.
Oh, Tammy, you're gone. I'll say, and any and all tendencies to invite into our personal field any who would disrupt, harm, or deplete us. We open to the healing, cleansing waters of divine love flowing through us to nourish first ourselves, then overflow blessings to all beings. Are you back?
Can you hear me?
Nope. Oh, now I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just, you know, the surrender, right? I mean, just the fact that Venus is carrying forward the Pisces energy even further than we've already taken it, it's like, oh my gosh, can we take more Pisces? Okay. okay, we now and evermore allow only transcendent beings of unconditional love and those whose energies harmonize and uplift our own into our personal field. Can you hear me?
Yes, that okay. was awesome. Now, I just want to say that on my calendar, it says that Venus is going in to Aries on the 20th at 9:11 a.m. Pacific time. So that's 12 p.m., 12:11 p.m. Eastern time. So just you said the 21st, and so I have it as the 20th. So just to make sure
okay.
people, you know, it's so easy to like. Do a typo
sure.
or whatever, okay. not notice at the time, right?
Uh-huh.
So that just feels
sure.
like that was maybe
okay.
Yeah.
So April 2nd to 20th. All right, great. So yeah, so then, yeah, thanks for catching that. So I just do want to speak a little bit more about this though, because to me it does feel like this is a very intention, a very powerful time for us to be aware of the places where we're giving our power away and where the issue with Pisces and sometimes Libra is that we allow others into our field and we allow others to, we allow individuals perhaps who are not in alignment with our higher good to be too close to us, to spend too much of our time sometimes with those who we find our energies are depleted around. And so if that's something where it's necessary, if we have, for example, a mother who we're needing to care for, but we've got some issues with her, or any other circumstance where that's just necessary, it's just to know that this is a window of time where we're going to need to really fill ourselves with our own energy and with divine energy and personal power. Because we might be awakening to and see the places where we have been, instead of filling ourselves with our own essence and with our own inner divine, we're allowing the energies of others to really kind of interfere with our own field. So that's something that we might experience, some of us. And the other piece with the ancestral trauma or the grief we might feel around all of the times that other women the women in our lineage or even in our own lives, that we have been compassionate, we've been loving. Perhaps we've seen the potential in others and we've lived from that place instead of paying attention as well to what's actually happening between us. That I mentioned female ancestors because Pluto is also, the South Node and Pluto are also very close to a conjunction. And so there's a lot that we're doing this month that has to do with clearing whatever it is that our female ancestors have experienced in these realms and what they've experienced that blocked them from their personal power. Can you still hear
so
me, Kaylin?
Yeah, I can still hear you. It's so good you bring that
okay.
up because that will be exact on April 4th when the South Node and Pluto
yeah.
are together. And so definitely a big feature of this particular gate. And of course, Pluto is all about empowerment. But first we have to clear out everything that is in the way of it, similar to this gate.
Yeah.
So it's all together. Yeah.
Yeah, powerful. And thank you for saying that reminder because people get, you know, nervous about Pluto, but I love how quickly you said that. It's about empowerment because, yes, it definitely aligns with what it is that that we're stepping into, what our deeper collective intent is, which is to step into more of our personal power. It's really, again, it's to drop everything that stands in the way of us claiming our full personal power sourced from love, to in the relational realms as an emphasis, beginning with our relationship with ourselves. So from April 20th to May 2nd, changing the date there, the Libra Meta Goddess is releasing all the ways she has hidden her true brightness, her strength, and her personal power so she would be loved, valued, and survived. So then this is when the Libra Meta Goddess in Aries is moving through the solar plexus chakra gate, and she's in the sign of Aries. So we might encounter, in order to heal, our own past experiences and those of our female ancestors where we were punished, banished, denied love and care because of our courage, our strength, or our light. You know, anytime we've been in a relationship where when we were
Oh, Tammy,
fully,
you just disappeared. So I'll just get to say, and I'm happy I get to say this because this is my Venus return. It's time to drop that now. Time to let that go. And I think you're back. So go ahead.
Okay, great. I love that. Okay.
Nope,
so
maybe not back.
Clear,
all right, so as we clear all distortions blocking us from full engagement with our personal power, we open to relationships based in mutual respect, delight, joy, and upliftment. So are you back now, Tammy?
Am I?
Nope. Okay.
I am in
Well,
spirit.
We'll just move on to...
All right.
Oh, there you are. Yeah. So anything else you wanted to say before we move on?
I want to focus on what's possible when we drop that, just for us to be very open to very new kinds of dynamics and relationships showing up when we get to be in our full love-centered power and meet others who are as well, and we get to play together. I think that it's a time to be anticipating and in excitement as we consider what's possible that we may never have experienced before.
You know, I have to say, because I was with someone yesterday who is still in a lot of pain, not feeling like anyone's ever had her back, not feeling like anyone's ever really supported her, that she's always supporting other people, but they don't support her back, and kind of in that distortion, that place of distortion around those energies, and not being able to forgive herself or forgive the other people. So that's our opportunity, really, because if we have that going on, there's something going on within us that keeps that experience happening. So, we got to step up and take responsibility as a way to claim, it's okay, yes, I may have created this. How do I forgive myself? How do I forgive the other people? And how do I now create relationships that are not based in my need to get something outside of myself, but that I can source it within me from the inside out rather than from the outside in. So, yeah.
Yes.
Woohoo.
Powerful.
Yeah. So slide number 16 is Jupiter stationing retrograde on April 10th at 24 Sag. And you see the star map of Jupiter on the ecliptic, Ophiuchus, the serpent bearer, aligned with the star Rasselhag, the crown chakra of the serpent bearer. And so this is something that will only happen every 12 years, happening at this gate, and it feels like it's really bringing in, if you think about the serpent medicine, it's so connected to the solar plexus chakra anyway. So we've brought this idea up before that perhaps that constellation was originally feminine, represented by the Cretan snake goddess or other, the snake priestesses or other goddesses that are connected to the snake imagery, like Sekhmet and Ishel and other ones that have snake as part of their image, whatever. So Tammy and I want to share this a little bit. I had this dream, and I know I've shared this before, but it just feels like it's so important, and to kind of tune in, like, how are our dreams informing us? Because literally, the serpent bearer, also connected to Asclepius, they had dream temples, and people would come to the healing temples and be put in dream incubation chambers, and their dreams would tell them what they needed to heal. So in 2016, October 14th, I had this dream about the, you know, holding up this wooden snake-shaped staff and chanting these words, and then, you know, this, it all just came out of me so easily, and it brought that snake staff to life. And then the snake literally came around and put a little drop of its poison in my cheek, and I was electrified by that. And I woke up hearing the words, "I am the serpent bearer," and I felt that this intense aliveness from that. And I had, you know, had been on a very powerful healing process that I have continued to do this day. But anyway, that dream felt like it was letting me know, because sometimes I was in this place of, is anything working? Am I making any progress at all? Right? So, you know, how we can have those whiny little moments where we're just in doubt because just we're having whatever, some kind of experience that feels like a setback. So I felt like this was a message that was saying yes. And that really the question that we can ask is, how are you releasing whatever holds you back from this kind of personal power? This is what we can ask at this gate. So now Tammy's going to share her story.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I wanted to just actually say, too, that there was a Facebook thread about the snake medicine a little while back, and it was so great because there are so many women I know, other women, and perhaps also Jeffrey, who have a strong, strong connection to snake medicine. So, you know, this is not just Kaylin and I. This is, you know, we're drawn together for a reason. Many of us carry the similar medicine. So in my case,
sorry to interrupt you, but I just have to tell you, I saw a rattlesnake yesterday on the path. I was hiking through the desert, and I had to stop Peter so he didn't walk right over it. And wow. It was like right there just waiting, and we had passed by that way on our way out, and I was trying to get it off the trail because I know people freak out and they kill them or, you know, do whatever, so I'm always trying to rescue them. So I was throwing, like, rocks at it near it, you know, but it wouldn't move, and finally I just threw a bunch of sand on it, and it still didn't move, and I threw more sand on it, and about the third time it finally left the trail. So I was like, the snake medicine is really speaking loudly here at this, you know, right before we do this class. So I just wanted to share that piece too.
Awesome. Thank you, Kaylin. Because I actually, today I'm in New Orleans and I did a swamp tour in the bayou. And it was so amazing because there was a big, enormous water snake right beside our boat as well. So the snake medicine is really big, obviously.
Yeah.
So like Kaylin and many of you perhaps, I also have had a long relationship of snakes where I've always had dreams about them from the time I was young. And much of my journey has been about claiming my personal power because my solar plexus, I was born with morning star at the solar plexus. So this is like my personal gate. And I'll say too, even though it's not my personal Venus return, and also for any of you, even when it's not your personal Venus return cycle, when you reach your personal gate, it is a time of special power. So just pay attention to that. I know for me, I'm really excited about this month. So snakes, they've always been teachers and guides for me when I was a child. I grew up in the country, and we had ringneck snakes that we would play with, we would find, and speckled king snakes. There was a couple of them that we found at one point that we adopted as pets. I loved hognose snakes, amazing snakes. So there was all these amazing snakes around me. And I also had a healer once tell me that I have this birthmark on my foot. And actually, literally, it looks like fang marks. And a healer told me at one time that was my, that I had been a Native woman in a past life and I'd been bit by a rattlesnake. And I've had lots of dreams and encounters with rattlesnakes. But that's how I had died, and that's why I had that birthmark. So as, you know, for many of you as well, these are just some examples of the snake medicine and how it shows up in my life. So, you know, to consider, how does snake medicine show up in your life? And some of you may be afraid of snake, and I would say sometimes when we are really afraid of an animal but it keeps showing up, that it can be that is our medicine just as much as if we have a strong draw to it. But the dream that I wanted to share that felt very significant is, well, I guess, I'm sorry, I'm going to try to move through this pretty quickly because we have a lot to cover. But
So I work with Sekhmet. You know, Kaylin and I both brought work with Sekhmet in the Leo and the Aries cycles before this one. And so she's been a very significant figure. And she has the snake at the top of her solar disk. And so that's, she's one of the kind of snake goddesses, you could say, as well. And then Ishel is a goddess that I've been just deeply falling in love with. And she's also got in one of her manifestations snake emanating as well, kind of from her forehead. Meaning, you know, she's like that fully realized goddess. So, and then I also work with Hygieia and the white snake goddess, which I had another vision of, which helped me heal my, was helping me in my journey of healing my womb in this healing crisis I've had the last couple of years. And I drew an image of her because Hygieia became a white snake, entered me and circled my womb to protect me. So I just shared that image there. And an image of being with Ishel, watching Venus with the moon at the Aries crown chakra gate. So again, just inviting you as well to, if you like, work with these goddesses or other snake goddesses this month. And then finally, just wanted to describe a dream that I had, which was one of the biggest dreams of my life, where I was in a relationship that was really pretty. It was the kind that I felt a tremendous amount of, I felt very stuck in it. It was a relationship that was draining my power. But I had just, despite that, I felt very hooked in. And I had made the decision to ask him to live with me, even despite, you know, I wasn't fully aware of him draining my power. But when I made the decision that night, I'd been feeling this energy like a snake in my belly. I just felt this tightening. It felt like this just really heavy energy, tension in my belly. I had a dream that I was carrying these rattlesnakes in these baskets. And I looked down to see what was in the, and I saw they were snakes. I dropped the baskets, and one went one direction. The other snake came right at me. And then a red-tailed hawk swooped down from the sky and grabbed the snake, ripped off its head. And by the way, I didn't know they actually did this, but I researched it later and they actually do. And then in that moment, I woke up and I heard a great horned owl right outside my window hooting. And in that moment, I knew I had to end the relationship. And even though I hadn't had the strength to do it before that, because of the power of that dream, I immediately knew what I had to do, and I immediately ended the relationship for good. So I just share this story to just share with you that the power of this snake medicine that we're inviting you to work with this month, that is actually the medicine that is active in the sky, that in the dreaming energies that are awakened by working with Ophiuchus, Asclepius, and the snake goddess, is something that we invite you to do to support you in fully letting go of whatever stands in the way of your complete and full empowerment. So,
yes, beautiful. So moving on to slide number 22, you know, we've always, when we've been doing the releasing at the solar plexus on the way down into the underworld, it's like looking at, we started with Capricorn, so we were looking at the doing addiction. So how would Libra be at the effect of the doing addiction? And so these are just some ideas that came up with, and you might come up with some more for yourself, but definitely being addicted to doing whatever it takes to make a relationship work. Also known as being codependent. Never did that ever my whole life. But what's really great about Peter is if I'm starting into that, he'll just say, you know, I got this. I'm okay. You don't have to take care of me. You don't have to make it okay for me. I'm like, oh my God, I've been unconsciously doing that. Oh, so that people pleasing on overdrive piece. Thank you, Tammy, for that one. And then being addicted to only doing things with others, even if having to be subservient. And similarly, unable to go places or engage activities if you don't have someone to go with you. And I've witnessed this in other people. Like they just are paralyzed. They have to have someone to go with them. And I've actually experienced this at times. I'm pretty good at going on my own these days, but occasionally it's like, if I don't have somebody to go, like if it's not something that I really want to do, unless I have somebody to go with, I probably won't. So who knows? Anyway, I do know. And then being addicted to someone else's idea, so it could be family, parents, culture, religion, partner, of how to make relationships work.
So we really, it's really about tuning into how does it work for us to have a healthy relationship with ourselves, and then, you know, how to extend that out beyond ourselves. So really, if the, any of these things speak to you, these are some great things to work on this month. And so, you know, there, this idea of challenges and opportunities at the gate. So the next slide, 23. And just, you know, some questions and ways to tune in. Like, are you abandoning yourself so you can be loved by another? And that's kind of the story that Tammy's telling about her dream, is there was a part of her that was not paying attention to some, you know, so the dream helped her to get more clear about that she wasn't going to abandon herself so that she could be in this relationship. So I think that's a great example. And then this idea of mythically, Sleeping Beauty is asleep to herself, and she can only be awakened by the kiss of a prince. And whether we believe that or think that that is how we're living our life, we can still be at the effect of it, whether we're conscious of it or not. So it's just something good to tune into. And so how do we take back our feminine power and stop giving it away to a mythic prince or someone outside of us who might save us or help us feel complete? This is the challenge, I think, of the relational goddess. And so really this process starts with our empowered self-love, working on, you know, how do we love ourselves, and that it comes from the inside out and not the outside in, and really releasing judgment whenever we possibly can, loving ourselves no matter what, even when we don't, maybe we've made a mistake or we've, you know, we feel like we could have done something better or whatever that might be, still loving ourselves. So on the next slide, we're looking at the opportunities and, you know, finding out who we are and what we like as an act of self-love. So you might ask yourself, who am I beyond what I have been conditioned to believe I should be? What do I like? What is my preference? You know, and I know that I have given up my preference many a time in past relationships, right? Because I want the other person to be happy. And if they're happy, then I'll be happy. And it's like, you know, then I don't even know what my own preference is. So it's, you know, it can be a trap. That keeps us from knowing more about what we want and what brings us joy and, you know, how we would really commit to taking care of ourselves. And that is also an act of self-love. So one of the things I know is because I super am committed to taking care of myself in the last few years, and I can, you know, I feel like I'm healthier than I've ever been, and I've had a lot of health issues over my life. And so I, you know, I feel like that, you know, this is an act of self-love. I have been doing that every day now for some years. That is awesome. So I'm getting some traction on that. Of course, having fun, spending time in nature, and, those, you know, spending time with those who love and accept you as you are and not who they want you to be. And that is such a big piece. And really, I got this one so big in my second marriage when it came down to the end of that, that really it was about him wanting me to be somebody I wasn't. And so now I get to be with somebody who loves me exactly as I am and does not trying to change who I am in any way. So we want, you know, we want to keep that in mind. It's like if you're with somebody who is not accepting you as you are, then you might want to rethink that relationship or at least have a conversation with the person to see if there's any way you can shift that. Anything you want to say about any of that, Tammy?
Oh, I mean, I think actually just this relates to what you were saying earlier, too, about abandoning yourself to be loved by another, the Sleeping Beauty myth. You know, I'm in a place where I'm not in a relationship right now, and so I'm looking at, like, what do, you know, what kind of dating would I do if I wanted to do that? And it really does, I've been playing with the idea of different individuals I might be in relationship with. I'm open to that. But what's interesting is that I've got a little more detached neutrality, so I watch how my mind says, oh, this person could be the one, and then everything would be different, or, oh, this person has all these great qualities, and all the stories I make up about it. It's been kind of fun to be more curious and observe myself as I go into those places, because I do, it's been helping me to see the place that I do think we can give our power away very much to the idea of someone else doing something for us that we can't do for ourselves. And, you know, I do think, again, this whole journey is about us helping us to come into empowered relationships with others. So it's not just about being by ourselves you know, but it's about, again, I keep feeling like there's this anticipation of how exciting to imagine being in relationship with someone because, you know, and the people in our lives from a place of mutual power, you know, and like you're saying, just because we enjoy each other, we enjoy creating together, and not because we feel like we're incomplete and without that person, and not choosing relationships where that other person is not honoring who we are just as we are.
Beautiful. I love that. So slide number 25, we're not going to really spend time on it. We've covered this before, but it felt like it was good to just activate it again because it is a way to let, you know, one of the things I do is I imagine the violet fire. I do the second chant is my favorite one, that I'm a being of violet fire, I'm the love the light inspires, and that I am releasing into the violet flame all the hurt and pain, guilt and shame, fear and blame, whine and complain. So I have this little rhyme that I do around that, and to be so that those energies can be transmuted and transformed into the higher vibrational energies of love and above. So that I do that almost every morning before I get out of bed. So like I'm getting up with my true self, not my false self. It's a great practice that you can do and very empowering, I think, to help clear any of the ways we may have judgments about ourselves and allow ourselves to perhaps be less than who we really are. So we're not necessarily storing up in our strength and power because we're afraid that we maybe won't be loved or we won't be supported or we won't, whatever those fears might be. And so this is it's a great practice to use at this gate, any gate, any time, but, you know, just that reminder. So. Tammy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Right. So I guess the questions at the solar plexus, the chakra, and again, this is kind of just summing up everything that we've talked about. You know, what are the interactions and the relationships and ways of communicating with others that drain my power, and what would it take to release them? And what are the interactions, thoughts, and relationships that empower me, and how can I increase their frequency and presence in my life? What would it take for me to let go of any habits or patterns where I'm protecting myself or parts of myself, especially to be in relationship with another person? And how can I choose to celebrate daily my magnificently imperfect self? And what situations trigger a fear-based reaction rather than a love-rooted response? I really like that. I think that was you, Tammy. What would it take to source my actions from love more and more each day? So these could, you know, these would be great questions to journal with, to work with, et cetera.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. And as always, you know, you may even just use one. It may be more potent for you to choose one question and meditate on that all month, or you may choose one per week. You know, it's whatever works for you. But using the questions and remembering to return to the journaling is so powerful. Again, even if you just take 20 minutes at the end of the cycle or at the beginning to journal, it is so, so, so powerful to use that. So moving now, it's so interesting. I just realized, Kaylin, that I left this. I had had two different potential home play assignments, and the first was how it feels to say yes, and I just realized that that's still on the top of this one, and it wasn't intended to be. Isn't that funny? But what I want to say is I just very briefly is that I do feel like that is what this gate is about. Much like Aries, you know, this is where we tune into more of that Aries kind of fire at the solar plexus. To me, it feels like it's a choice to, you know, we encounter the places we give our power away, and then we choose to uplift ourselves. We choose to say yes to, and it may take a little bit of energy, you know, into saying, yes, I surrender what doesn't work, and I'm going to muster whatever it takes to step into a new vibrational field. So how does it feel to say yes to your own power with joy? It feels like a joy, an underlying joy, and a yes to life. So we're, again, going to invite you to work with snake dreaming medicine this month, really amplified by Jupiter with Ophiuchus Asclepius, the snake goddess. So this month, invite snake medicine to infuse your dreaming, opening you to your full personal power. You might wish to put images of snake on your Venus altar, including goddesses carrying snake medicine, including the Cretan snake goddess, Ixchel, Sekhmet, and Wajet. She's the cobra goddess. You might visit a snake in a zoo or pet store and spend time with them. You might sketch snakes and move your body as a snake does. You might also put your belly on the ground, as snake once told me to do. You actually lie on the ground if it's warm enough outside or inside.
Oh, and then Tammy, you just...
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Whatever you just, that last sentence, I need to re-say it. Yeah, you're back. Re-say whatever the last thing is.
Okay, so whether you're inside or outside, preferably outside, you put your belly on the earth and you really give away.
You disappeared again.
I'm still.
You're back. You're back now.
Okay, I'm back. Okay, I think that's fine. You get the point.
Yeah.
And then just how do you feel moved to engage snake energy in your life this month, and just to invite you to use that, because snake is life force energy. Snake is the primal energy in us, and it is our activation of that, and stepping into our personal power. So
this is inspiring me to, because I have a lot of different snake, like I have a little beaded snake, and I have some stone snakes, and you know, some different things. I want to like put them all together and take a picture. And I also have a snake skin that I got when I was doing a ceremonial hike some years ago, and I still have on my altar, and I'm like, oh, I think I'm so going to make that more prominent.
Oh, awesome. I have a rattlesnake bracelet that I'm going to wear this month.
Aha, uh-huh. Beautiful.
Awesome.
Yep. So, and then another piece that you can do is clearing blocks to relational sovereignty. This is the idea of being whole unto yourself, not needing somebody so that you feel whole if you're with somebody, or you feel whole because you're doing some specific thing or something outside of you, but really having it come from the inside, that inner mastery or inner authority. So it's not dependent on what others think. It's sometimes nice to get feedback from others, but not being dependent on it to feel like you're, you know, making progress. So in this dominator culture, there's a constant pressure to give our sovereignty over to others. That starts with our parents, with teachers, with bosses, with partners, and spiritual gurus. There may be others, but those are the ones that I could think of. You know, wherever you have relinquished or given away your sovereignty and knowing to others, then, what can you do to reclaim that, or to stop doing that, at least stop doing that, right? And maybe come back and think about what it is that you're doing, and how could you do it differently in a way that helps you be more in your inner divine authority and to live your life from wholeness and the power that's within you. So it's time to really practice standing in our sovereignty and seeing how it feels, to take responsibility for our lives. So oftentimes, and I was sharing about this friend of mine who it feels like is still, placing the responsibility on others outside of her. I've known her for a long, long time, and I'm sad. I'm sad for her that she still feels that way. And her life's a mess. So until she can probably stand in that place of like, okay, I'm responsible for everything I'm experiencing here, and I can forgive myself even if I don't like what's going on, but I can still forgive myself. And then that, and then also finding the places of gratitude, like being grateful for whatever it is that we're learning about ourselves in this process, because really to have a healthy relationship, first we have to have a healthy relationship with ourselves. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we keep saying the same things over and over, but it's because they're so important and they're so easy to forget, and there's so much that can distract us from that, but it's this is important. Yeah, I just want to say, Kaylin, too, that something that we didn't really have a slide on, but you may want to consider is if, you know, you've had experiences with previous teachers or any of these gurus, whatever, where you've given your power away, there are a couple of things you can do. One is consider if you have cords, at the third chakra. That's where they connect with often with teachers, for example, that you've given your power and your authority to. So to consider, you know, if you do cord work, I'm not going to say you might want to cut the cords because there are other ways that are more gentle, actually, to do that. But whatever kind of cord clearing work you do, even dissolving, asking divine to, like, imagining there's the light of spirit, of source, is surrounding you, that you've got these cords, that it's dissolving whatever cords stand or still remain between you and anyone you're giving your power to. But the other piece, so if anyone wants to, you know, more resources on working with cords, we can share links. But the other piece is that even it often has to do with when we admire another person, or even subtly, if we, you know, pay attention this month to where it is you're thinking, oh, they're so amazing and I'm not. That's you giving your power to them in some way. So that kind of admiration, if there's any hierarchy there, just pay attention to when that happens and learn to immediately turn it back to yourself and say, I am equal to all beings. I am equal to you. You are equal to me. This is a Libra thing.
If I'm seeing it in you, it is also within me. So yeah. It's not that it's outside of me. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's easy to do when we look at magazines, when we go online. So pay attention first to where you subtly give your power away and take it back. Get in the habit of doing that. Yeah. You are equal to all beings.
It occurs to me, too, that using the violet flame as a way to dissolve cords and transmute that energy, so we don't have to, like, get rid of it necessarily. We can transmute it from those lower vibrational energies of power over or whatever that's. Transmuted into the higher vibrational energies, and so it's like you don't have to cut the cord, you don't have to, you know,
Beautiful.
Use the flame with that, and then really beginning with forgiving the unforgivable within ourselves. That's another place, and then so we can also forgive whatever we can forgive other people for. So, yeah. So I think we might be ready for our
yes.
Awesome. Okay. So just, you know, all the general reminders. Hopefully you have your Venus journal handy or something to write on. So you'll have the opportunity to capture images or insights or ahas that might happen. Don't listen to this while driving or do anything that requires your full attention. And, you know, just hopefully being in a quiet place and doing whatever works for you to really tune in and be connected into the energy. So with that in mind, I invite you to just whatever it takes for you to bring yourself present and to feel immense gratitude and appreciation for each and every one of us in our sacred circle, along with the gifts of connection and support that are in our intentional field. So as we begin, know that you are being supported by your personal grandmother guide or guides, if you have a group of them, as well as all your allies, your helping spirits and teachers. And as you tune into this support, notice a portal of light opening before you. And as this portal opens, you're going to step through and instantly find yourself on the steps of the Venus Temple, greeted by a wise and loving grandmother who welcomes you with ceremonial sage, and she spreads the cleansing smoke all around your body, and you can feel your energetic field lightening as she does this. And then when the smudging is complete, your wise, beautiful grandmother guide invites you to enter the temple courtyard where the Venus altar awaits. And as you approach the altar, you are greeted by a majestic, radiant, powerful, and beautiful to behold, shining relational goddess. And beside her is your own personal power animal or a guiding spirit who's supporting you over this next month. Just notice who is the power animal or the guiding spirit. And your power animal or guiding spirit is also sharing with you or representing to you one of your most essential superpowers that needs your attention now. So perhaps your superpower is the power of love, the power of insight, bold collaboration, imagination, wisdom, forgiveness, perseverance, persistence, kindness, or maybe it's the ability to experience profound joy. It might be to know that you know without doubt or hesitation whatever it is that you know. It might be the power to recognize and facilitate magic or step more fully into a leadership role. It might also be the power to be a transformational messenger or a catalyst. It might be about finding the strength, courage, and stamina to continue on your own journey. Or maybe it's the ability to enhance or jumpstart the superpowers of others. And that's a huge superpower that's kind of overlooked. So maybe it's something you haven't ever thought of or known before. Just take a moment to tune in and receive what is yours to receive around your superpower that most wants your attention right now. And as you're tuning into this particular power, also notice what might be blocking you from using this power in the most effective way possible. So perhaps the block you are experiencing is due to fear, maybe it's doubt, or maybe something else. It could be that because it's time to engage this power more consciously, or some other reason will be revealed to you now, some other thing that might be blocking you will be revealed to you now. So once you have a sense of the superpower seeking your attention and what might be blocking you more fully from using this power, no more will be revealed as you continue releasing whatever prevents you from fully expressing this very special and authentic superpower. So be sure to offer your gratitude for all the guidance and support showing up for you now in removing any blocks or distortions in connection to this superpower so you can easily take the necessary steps to bring it more fully into your life and as a daily part of your expression of who you are. So now you're preparing to leave the Venus Temple. Be sure to express heartfelt gratitude to the relational goddess for her guidance and support. And if it feels appropriate to you, invite your power animal to join you for the Sky Temple journey as you make your way to the temple steps to begin the Sky Temple ceremony.
Now from the steps of the Venus Temple, you look up to see a winding path leading once again into a deep forest. You follow the path, surrounded by, once again, the great and ancient trees. And this time, as you pass through this forest, you feel as if these trees are rustling in the breezes, that they are fully alive, awake, conscious, and supporting you with their presence. You also have your power animal beside you as you walk along this path. And now as the already dark forest continues to darken and you can barely see the path in front of you, once again, a ball of light appears before you, lighting the path and leading you to the clearing under the dark, star-bedazzled night sky. And as you step into that clearing, once again, you find yourself standing before the pool of water. And once again, you smell the scent of jasmine, and you see the glowing spiral staircase ascending far up into the heavens in the distance. And once again, you approach the spiraling staircase, and again, you ascend the staircase, and as you ascend, you approach the bank of mist and fog, and you pass through that bank, emerging to find yourself once again on the solid ground of the Sky Temple. And once again, you look around to see so many hierophanies, so many sacred alignments to the sun and the moon and the stars, including pyramids, kivas, medicine wheels, chambered cairns, observatories, stone circles, and petroglyphs. And now you look once again to see the two pillars before you, with Venus shining so beautifully near the crescent moon. And now you see them as if the wheel of the sky is turning and they disappear from view. And yet now what you see appearing before you is Jupiter shining bright in the sky, and behind Jupiter you see the constellation of Ophiuchus Asclepius, the great serpent bearer. And as you watch, the great snake, held in his hands, begins to take form, moving across the sky. Asclepius also begins to fill out into the great god himself. And now he descends and appears before you. You feel the energy emanating from his body and from the snake powerfully. And now as you observe him, you put your hand on your belly and you begin to feel once again if there are any remaining areas within your belly where you are holding fear, where you may be holding any of that energy of wanting to become smaller, wanting to hide, wanting and not being ready to fully claim your power. And you simply allow yourself to feel that for a moment. And now suddenly what you begin to see and feel as you look down at your body, you look at your legs, you look at your feet, you see that you are covered with robes, and you see that you yourself, you suddenly begin to feel the energy of a snake moving along your own shoulders, along your own hands. And you realize that you yourself are also the snake bearer. And as you gaze into the eyes of Ophiuchus, of Asclepius, you recognize that the same power that you feel emanating from this great being is a power that you yourself are beginning to feel as well, emanating from every part of your body. And as you now, once again, as you feel your hand on your own belly, you now look and see the snake that is on your shoulders, that is held on your own body, is a snake of light, and that this, in fact, is your own Shakti energy, your own life force energy. And now as you observe, this snake penetrates your navel at your belly button, and you feel as this energy now fills you, as it now enters you and it fills your entire solar plexus. And as you feel any place where there was any fear, any place where there was any contraction, any place where there was any hiding, that you now feel yourself to be filled with your own life force, your own personal power. And you also feel that it is filled with the essence and the presence of love. And now as you allow yourself to feel that any and all fears, any and all tension, any and all contracting or hiding of your full essence, as that dissolves and as that is replaced by the energy of your own personal power, you once again, as you gaze at Asclepius, he now puts his own hand, his own snake, against your belly. And as he does, you feel an even greater connection to the primal life force energy of the universe itself. And as you do, you know now that in this moment that you are filled with and you are connected to your own divine light, and you are connected to the light and source energy of the cosmos. And with that, you give gratitude and you bow to us, Asclepius, as he bows as well to you. You thank him, and you prepare now to descend the staircases, this time down back into your body, back into the present time, and back into the room where you began. And as you do, you continue to feel this at your center, at your core, at your solar plexus chakra. You are now emanating this divine light of your own inner wisdom, your own inner divinity, as well as having a profound connection to that power of the universe that moves through you and into you with limitless source energy. And now that your Sky Temple journey is complete, you know that you can return at any time to connect to the Serpent Bearer, but even more importantly, you know that you are now in full contact with this limitless source of energy that lives inside of you. And now once you've come out of this meditation, take a moment to journal or draw any guidance you received from your visit to the Venus Temple or the Night Sky Temple that you wish to remember for the month ahead to support you in the most powerful healing and clearing of your solar plexus. It is done, and it is good.
Yay. So we've got a few minutes left for Q&A. And, you know, some people may still be taking some notes, but if you have any questions or any insights or ahas or anything you want to share, if you press star 6, it'll get you in the queue, and we will have a conversation about whatever it is that you want to talk about. Okay. Hi, Emma.
Hi, this is Emma.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Emma. You know what happened to me? I got lost in another dimension or something because I did not remember the Venus of class until 5:15 or 6:15. And so I came in just in time to hear Tammy's wonderful meditation. And I promise you, I definitely will listen from the beginning to the end. And by the way, you don't know how excited I am. I just wanted to share one thing, is that I have Libra rising, and so that is my goal this lifetime, to work with my Venus and my Mars energy and bring Libra full force. And it's been a very interesting journey. This cycle has been very important to me because so much of my life I begin to have little summaries of this energy that I was working on and that
Whoa,
energy.
Whoa, we just lost you, Emma.
My life has been a series of summaries of the different things that I've been working on in this lifetime, and then the realization that nothing really is important except, did I do it all in love?
Yeah. Love that. Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you, Emma, so much. So vital.
So this whole descent, and I'm waiting to come back up again and see what blessings I received during that part of the session. So.
Yay. Thank you for sharing that piece. I love how you said that, you know, what really matters is, did you do it with love?
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, my husband and I are finishing watching it's the third time I've watched him, the second time, on Netflix, Joseph Campbell's and Bill Moyer's myth series is on, and we watched it once, and we're going to go back and watch it again.
Awesome.
I watched that this year and re-inspired because I'd seen some of it years ago, and I know exactly what you're talking about. So powerful. Highly recommended.
I do too. Yeah. Okay. Love you and see you next month.
All right. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks, Emma.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I think this is Manisha.
Hi. Yes,
awesome.
Manisha. Hi.
Hi.
It's a great class. Thank you. There are so many places where this is really resonating, especially with just different statements and just the empathy part. It's like really sticks with me a lot. So, I had a question. I was just hoping maybe you could guide me a little bit and ways to think about this. I have my MC in Libra, and I don't have. It's just not been something that I've focused on in my chart in general as much because I just have. Like we all do have so many things going on. And so I've just been feeling into Libra a lot more as I've been changing my work around a little bit. And I'm just curious about like the meta goddess in Libra with something like your, I mean, I also have Pluto and Uranus in Libra. So there's also a lot happening in there. But I was just wondering if you could offer any ways that I could consider just the meta goddess theme in the context of having my MC there and, what I might consider or think about.
You know, Manisha, I just want to say, we're in the same generation. I have my Pluto and Uranus and Libra also in the seventh house, so feel you there.
Yeah.
but I just, You know, I know Kaylin will have a lot to say about this, but I will say that just remember that this is the morning star phase of the journey, and that definitely the Venus Libra archetype, you know, the meta goddess is affecting everyone. It's a collective journey. Any of us who have any point in that sign is going to be feeling it more intently. And the midheaven is a really vital point, but it's the morning star journey. So this is really the time to be actively clearing and healing any of the old distortions around Libra, around your work. So how amazing that you're seeing and feeling the shifting happening there. So, you know, I like to just remember in the big swath of things that this is.
Yeah, Tammy, I don't know if you're done, but you're gone, so yeah. Not talking anymore. Anyway, so Manisha, what I just want to say is that the way that I look at the midheaven is, you know, it's called the Right Livelihood Project in the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School. And what does that mean? What the heck is right livelihood? I think that another way to look at it is to say it's where you make your creative contribution in the world. And if it's Libra, it's definitely about co-creation and collaboration with others. So, the work you do, it's not limited to that. It's like any kind of ways that you're expressing creatively in the world. And that would say to me that if you have Libra on the midheaven, you can do so much more when you're in a conscious collaboration, a co-creative, you know, non-hierarchical, equal kind of collaboration with other people than you could on your own. Not that you can't do things on your own, but that's just the piece that it's like there is an intent there for you to be able to figure out how to work with others to accomplish more. You know, it's like that saying that two people can carry a long way, but one person can't lift. It's that idea.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So helpful, because earlier this year, not to take up too much more time, but earlier this year I was working with a teacher, so it's interesting that you even referenced that, and I had to end that relationship because it was actually feeling very there is a hierarchy there, but it was just feeling very imbalanced, and there was just a lot of distortions there, so I had to separate from that situation, and because it didn't feel collaborative, it just felt like, it was very uneven. So it's interesting that this is all happening, or not so interesting, it all makes sense that it's all happening right now as I like rediscover. But I love this piece of collaboration, but it being like a co-creation, because that feels really good. So thank you, super helpful.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Manisha.
Thank you. And that you're on the leading edge. You know, you are, because Venus and Libra is really on the leading edge for all of us. You're on the leading edge with your work in the ways that you're bringing in that co-creative, collaborative model.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And you know, it's interesting how that hierarchy can sneak in. And people, I worked with a woman years ago. She was a mentor, but she was Libra rising, and she was trying to be collaborative, and in some cases she could be, but other times she was very hierarchical. So it's a learning process. It's not something we necessarily get right away. It takes time.
And you know what else, Kaylin? I think you're saying that it's, you know, Manisha, it has also to do with what else is in your chart. And so if you're coming from a place of being more of a giver and oriented towards others, it might be around focusing more on yourself and your autonomy. And, you know, so it just kind of depends also on what needs balancing.
Yeah, for sure. And I have my son in Leo, but it's like in the eighth house. And so that just gets really tricky for me. So I think that I'm always working, being seen, but like not so much and that whole thing. So
the balance piece. That also is so representative of Libra. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you,
awesome.
Manisha.
Thank you.
Right. I think this is Mary.
It is.
Awesome.
Wow. You guys, thank you for the wisdom. You really brought some points home for me that I will need to focus on. I had fun with the Mercury thing. I went to put the star six in and hit the disconnect button instead. And then my phone wouldn't even work. So I'm laughing with you. I do want you to know, Kaylin, when you couldn't hear Tammy, I could hear Tammy just fine. So I'm wondering if there was something maybe on your side that you might want to just double check, because I didn't understand why that kept happening. But what I called in, I just thought that might be helpful. I don't know. But and the same thing with the last caller. I could hear her when you couldn't. The thing that I came across recently, two things. One was really about vulnerability and how we tend to over time numb ourselves and block ourselves from being vulnerable, when in fact finding that courage, and that coming for more from the hard thing, but where it ties in to this solar plexus is what I was really reading the difference between empathy, feeling the pain of others, and compassion, that most people connect with the heart chakra, when in fact it is more taking empathy with understanding, which puts it in really to the solar plexus, where you stand within yourself to feel compassion for others. Otherwise, you experience it so directly, you have burnout, or you experience vicarious trauma through others. And I thought that was so interesting, because that is, in fact, where the hara is in the anatomy, in our spirit, energetic anatomy, and how really what you were doing early on with breathing into the belly is such a beautiful meditation to engage the parasympathetic nervous system and bring you into the state of rest and digest, which is really where the you're more likely to feel the compassion rather than the stressful energy of connecting through empathy and feeling somebody else's pain. And I really liked looking at it that way, and how the two are related, but how even the word understanding has to do with standing. In the yogic realm, they talk about that a lot with Tadasana, and just standing in your own power in order to help others that you would feel empathy for, and feeling compassion from that place. I just wanted to express.
Awesome, Mary. Thank you. The idea of being in our parasympathetic nervous system, breathing into the belly, ha breathing will also help activate the vagus nerve and put us into a more of our parasympathetic nervous system. So we're in a place of greater ease rather than fight, flight, or freeze when we're in our sympathetic nervous system. And when we're there, then it's harder to be in the place of balance. Really, that's what Libra wants more than anything. Thank you for that. It's awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. And I just wanted
Go ahead.
To briefly say that. Okay, I just wanted to say quickly that I posted a link in the Facebook group, but I might see if we can post it on the page. That so awesomely speaks to what you're saying. It's really exactly that when we shift more into the hara and we're really actually becoming much more embodied, that's what helps us not go into emotional contagion and empathy burnout. It's a brilliant article. And so I just love that reminder of that. So we stand in our power, and then we can have compassion and empathy that is sustainable. So I love that you brought that up.
I had this weird thing going on about 2 days
ago. So it's interesting, Tammy, you were cutting it out from my end, and also it looked like you weren't being heard by the computer either. So I don't know. Anyway, hopefully it got recorded. What Mary was saying is true, that she could still hear you. Anyway, I think we have one more person, so let's check that out.
Thanks, Mary.
And I'm not sure who this is.
Hi, this is Sharon.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. So I just unmuted your microphone. Who is this?
This is Sharon. Hi.
Hello?
Hello, this is Sharon.
Um,
Yeah, not Kaylin, hearing you. I mean,
yeah, Kaylin, I can hear too.
I was just going to say that on
the I unmuted the number is. Oh, you can hear her? She's not showing up on the bridge as being heard. Okay.
Yeah, I was just on the technical part. I was just going to let you know that I could hear Tammy when you couldn't, and I could hear the other callers. So I don't know where that problem was, but I thought that might be helpful.
Well, thank you for saying that. And you know, all the time you were talking and I wasn't hearing you, it didn't look like you were being recorded.
Oh,
and so I think the same thing is true for Tammy. People are listening to the recording. It'll be interesting if it was actually being recorded, because I can, you know, you see the microphone thing goes up and down when people are talking, and it was completely just not moving.
But that would make sense. That would make sense, Kaylin, because if you couldn't hear it, then probably it wasn't being received through the recording on your computer either.
Right, except I'm on a different bridge for being there. I don't know why that is.
Either.
Is it the Mercury
it is.
Stationing
Station Direct weird. Today with Neptune.
So it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. Right.
Yeah.
So thank you. I didn't get to hear your name when you said who you
Sharon.
Were.
Sharon. It was Sharon, she said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh.
All right, so I think we're done. Ted, do you want to do a quick closing for us?
I'll try. I just want to just give gratitude. First of all, I just want to give gratitude to you, Kaylin, actually, for your patience. You know, it's interesting with this. But I just want to give gratitude to all of our guides, allies, beloved guardians, angels, and the circle of the grandmothers and the grandfathers. And just that we dream powerfully over this next month, that in our collective dreaming, that we clear any and all blocks around each one of us, beautiful, bright, shining beings, stepping into our full power and releasing anything that stands in the way of joyful, harmonious relationship based on sovereignty of each individual joining to co-create. With pleasure, with joy, and full aliveness, and a full yes. So it is.
And so it is. And everybody have a great month, and we'll connect up with you as we get towards the sacral chakra gate. So looking forward to connecting when that happens.
Absolutely.
Bye, everyone.
Beautiful month. Bye.